We invite you, Jesus, every place.
Yahweh. I'm just going to give us a few landing spots if you'd like to have those in his presence. Thank you, Jesus. Can you just find Psalm 23 and just verse 2? And also have open. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 46. In verse 4. So 23, verse 2, and Psalm 46, verse 4. And then Ephesians 4. And verses 30 onwards. Those three markers, we'll just hang there for a while and just allow him to minister to us. One of the really exciting things about 2020 is going to be an expression of just that, just then, but on a Friday night. So we will have something happening weekly, which is going to be beautiful. We just haven't worked out. It'll probably be here most probably, but we just need to work that out. But just a time of prayer and worship, like a harp and bowl type, where you can just come. It'll just be for an hour and a half, max 2 hours, and just sit with the Lord. At the end of the week, just prepare yourself for what you need to do on the weekend. We just want to provide a space for the Holy Spirit to honour him. Amen. And the expression of what he's doing in our midst. Amen. So we'll give you some more details about that when we have them. I just want to thank Jesus Christ for worship, because worship, a few things happen in worship. If you're not used to the presence of the Lord, or you're not used to quieting yourself, worship can be really, really annoying. But what we've decided to do here on purpose for many years now is to allow the Holy Spirit to lead worship. And so you have Matt, who's such a beautiful voice, and Dave and Jen and Phil and Heather and Kath and Che and Cheryl, anyone else is on the team. None of them are really leading anything. They're just listening to what the Lord is doing. And I love that worship's not about a person or a band. That worship is about Christ. I spoke to some friends of ours a couple of weeks ago, and I reminded them of this fellow I met once, and he said, "Oh, the worship wasn't very good at the church." I said, "I didn't realize it was for you." We come here to worship Christ. And so all the worship is for him. Amen. Oh, I didn't really get into that slow song. It wasn't for you. The slow song was to allow the Spirit of God to speak. The fast song is to allow the Spirit of God to speak. It's for him, not for us. And who loves worship entering in? Oh, so good. But let's not also confuse the presence of God with the thing that you feel in worship. The presence of God is all the time, everywhere. Yeah. You might sense his presence maybe more in worship, but it's not the place where his presence starts and stops. Yeah. We're not about people that are trying to figure out feelings. We're people who are trying to see Jesus. I'm really, really thankful for these guys, and I'm really thankful for the sensitivity they have to the Holy Spirit. And I just, yeah, how good is it, hey? It's very rare and few and far between to find. And so I'm eternally grateful. I get worship 24 hours a day. As I'm going to sleep, Kath is singing. As I'm waking up, oh, this is so good. What song was that? I just thought, Lord gave me this song. Oh, so good. So I'm just thankful for worship. Isn't it beautiful that David had this anointing on gifting before he was king, to be a minstrel and a man of song and dance? Because dance is going to be restored to the body. You better get ready, eh? Like, we haven't seen nothing yet. Like, dancing, every word in the Psalms that says praise, there's seven of them, every one of them is a bodily movement. Oh, I'm an introvert. The Holy Spirit wants us to not see ourselves as introverts or extroverts. He wants to see ourselves as sons and daughters. And so I encourage you, if you're not a dancer, just start letting your little foot go. Holy Ghost, come. He'll come.
Elvis.
Amen. Amen. You know, it's funny you talk about Elvis, Carr. Elvis Presley, he brought a new sound that was foreign in his day, but now we look back and the sound is not foreign anymore. Amen? So what the Holy Spirit is releasing in the sound here might be unfamiliar or maybe even uncomfortable, but in 10 years' time we'll say that's normal. Amen? So if I can stretch you then and say this, when the indigenous people of the Darug and Gundagara nations walked over these hills and cut the first track, it didn't look like the Great Western Highway. You can say amen. When Wentworth, Blaxland and the other guy stole the maps of George Cayley, who made it to Mount Banks, and then determined their way that they were the ones who went over the mountain, which is not true. They were just the first white people over the mountain. Right? That road doesn't look like the road now, amen?
Yeah.
So we could say today that the road that we see over the Blue Mountains, they couldn't see that road. Yeah? But they still trailblazed, they still pioneered, and they still cut through where others might have told them not to. So when we look back in a year's time, or 10 years' time, or 20 years' time, or 40 years' time, what we thought was unnatural or maybe not, or what, I don't know what's happening there, will be completely natural. You hear what I'm saying? Amen? And that can only happen if we shepherd people really, really well. I have stayed away from the shepherd in the fivefold ministry. I've stayed away from the shepherd on purpose because the shepherd has caused the most dysfunction. The shepherd has, and I don't use the word pastor because the word is shepherd. The shepherd has caused the most wickedness to be inside the body of Christ. And I'm not going to do it now, but if I ask people in this room, have they ever encountered a shepherd who may not have been a shepherd, might have been a wolf in sheep's clothing? I hope you don't say it's me, and I repent if I do that to you. I'm really sorry. But shepherds have a responsibility to protect the sheep from wolves. Yes. Amen? The shepherd ministry, the pastoral ministry, was never supposed to be a ministry of out the front running services doing that. That's what we got sold in the Western church.
Yeah.
And we got sold it because we were under a triangle system that wanted to control the masses rather than a kingdom circle, which said, I'm part of you, you're part of me, let's go together. And so instead of controlling people, we want to be a people that actually link arms with one another and walk together. Okay? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Amen. Okay. I'm not going to spend heaps of time today because I think this will just carry on for a few years. But I wanted to pray. I wanted to just prophesy for a little while some things that the Lord's been giving me. I met Matt at Dave Croft's house in his backyard when the old house was there on Boulevard. And when I met Matt, the Lord said to me, this is a worship leader. You remember this, Matt? And I prophesied over him. But as in the worship leader, the Lord just said to me, he's taking you from glory to glory and strength to strength. And what you have stepped into, the Lord says, what you have crafted, he's going to now take you far beyond what you could ever hope, dream, or imagine. And doors are opening now that you felt were shut, and the Father is giving you access to places unseen and realms unknown. There's access now, says the Lord, to things that you have been dreaming of. And so we plead the blood of Christ over you and Rach and the kids. We bless you. We bless you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And we decree that these mountains and any other place you find yourself in are going to be eternally changed because of your obedience to Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I thank you. I thank you that you sent him west and now you sent him here. I thank you, Father, for any place he's ever going to go, I pray, Lord, that you would sit with him and he would sit with you. And out of that place would come rivers of living water. And people would be saved. They would be delivered and they would be set free. We release that over you now in the name of Jesus. There's incredible things happening, isn't there? I don't really have to say too much, but I think probably the most abused scripture other than John 3:16 is Psalm 23. Who can say amen? Yeah. So John 3:16 says this. Well, let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he sent. Amen. And so we've used that scripture, for God so loved the world, as, and we've said that that's people. The word is cosmos. It's not people. For God so loved the whole cosmos that he sent his only son to restore right order onto the earth. Say, I am a steward of heaven on earth. That's who you are. How good is that? Well, you might be going down to Victoria next week on the plane. Oh, what do you do? Oh, I'm a steward. An air steward? Oh, no, no, no. I'm a steward of the kingdom of God. You'll probably get locked up. Maybe they'll search you. But who knows? Who likes being searched at airports?
I always get searched at airports.
I reckon they see you from the cameras in the car park. When I was in Los Angeles many years ago, I was sitting and I went to go through the beeper, and this guy, I got up, I stood up to go through the thing. He's got an M16 machine gun. He says, take off your pants. I said, no, I'm not doing that. And he points the gun. Whoop, right there, mate. There you go. Whew. That was one of those days where I, no, I'm joking. But like, you have to get excited about stuff. But also, you get targeted because of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says to us that the true shepherd sheep, so to speak, we're all sheep, amen? Amen, come on. That you will find trouble in the world because of Christ. Talk about blaming on Jesus. Right? But we need to understand that it says this, is that we can hear his voice. So in the trouble, we should, as we're becoming more mature in Christ, we get less and less agitated by the trouble because we have a clearer and clearer and clearer sense of the voice of Jesus in the trouble. You're tracking with me there, is that okay? And so he leads me beside still waters. The word still there, I don't want you to think about a swamp. The word actually is quiet running waters. When you go back and you look and you understand the wordplay, it's actually quiet running waters. But who could say today that we live in an extremely noisy world? Who could say today that we live in an extremely noisy mind? And I'm not putting anyone down, but there's people in here right now and you're already contemplating and thinking about the strategic things for tomorrow morning. Yep, okay. That's not a bad thing. That's just the world we live in, okay? Who could also say that what has crept into the body of Christ has been this whole thing about busyness and ministry and this and that? I often get asked this question by other ministers. What are you called to? What's your ministry? No one ever asks me, are you a son? Or are you a daughter? And those statements, son and daughter, they are the framework about who we are as a person. We're all called to be a son. We're all called to be a daughter. Amen. We're all called to be the bride of Christ. Yep. All the men, dresses for Jesus. Yep. And all the women in here are also prophesied in the word as sons of God. Okay. Not in a weird gender type way, but in a way that actually identifies you as an heir to everything that Christ has. Okay? So he leads me beside quiet waters. My goal today is that by the end of this, which is not going to be very long, I want you to have less ability to focus on the noise in your life than you did at the start. So I want to equip you in Christ to actually be able to find the quiet water instantly wherever you are. Because that's the goal of maturity. It says that Ephesians 4 says that we have been given apostles and prophets and evangelists, shepherds and teachers
which are actually cultures, not, and yes, single people can be those things, but they're cultures within a community.
Those cultures create safety. Those cultures create rest.
At the root word of poemoi, which is the word for shepherd, is this thing, it's a play on words, it's an analogy that says this:
anyone who's called to be a shepherd or a pastor, their primary role is to bring the body to rest.
Wow. Is to bring the body to rest. Because only out of rest, in the fullness of rest, can you be who you're called to be in fullness in Christ. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
And so that calling is actually to draw people to the rest of Yahweh.
Let's think about now all the things that have happened over the years with pastors that have not allowed us to enter into the fullness of rest. And most of it's got to do with dysfunction in personality, but also in miscalling.
So people say, oh, you're a long pastor, I went to Bible college.
And that could be true.
I know people that have gone to Bible college, they're awesome shepherds.
But it can also be untrue. Yeah. And so what we have, we want to reclaim, we want to retake. We want to take the ground back that was taken off us in the body about what a pastor or a shepherd actually is. The beautiful thing about the biblical shepherd is that in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New, guess what? There were heaps and heaps of female shepherds. Yeah, amen. And we're going to reclaim that.
Someone asked me, well, how can you have someone who's a woman in leadership?
I said, well, if she's not my wife,
because I've got a wife, right? Just one, right? If she's not my wife, if she is submitted to leadership in terms of me and Catherine, the team, then I'm her shepherd. And I will make sure that she lives a life that I'm pushing her forward into Christ.
And whether she finds a husband or not, or whether she doesn't, whatever happens, my role is to shepherd her well so she can be all that Christ has called her to be. Husbands, obey your... No, it doesn't say that, does it?
It says, wives, be respectful of your husbands.
John, where's John? Put your hand up, John Rees. Amen. Thank you for that on Wednesday night.
Bring this stuff.
And then it says this, husbands, love your wife,
not your life, like Christ loves the church.
What did he do? He laid down his life so she could be empowered. It's a perfect picture of Jesus and the church, husband and wife. Amen? And we need to understand that when Jesus is talking about shepherds, he's not saying, listen, all it has to be male dominated. He's saying, if you are called to be a shepherd, then you should be empowered to do so. I'm already going to get emails probably because of that statement, but that's okay. The denominational sickness of Australia is continuing. Yeah, that wasn't a joke, but thanks, Manheek. That was good, amen. All right. And so, ultimately, we're going to look now at some key things. So that word beside, he leads me beside still waters. It means actually this, he leads me above everything on the ground that's affecting me. Who's ever dreamed of floating or flying? Superpower, come on.
Yeah?
Like, flying would be boring. I could just get my feet off the ground, it'd be really boring. Like, it'd be awesome. Imagine that. Imagine the travel you could do. You'd just be off with her. I believe I can fly. But that movie, was that movie?
Ice Age,
oh, hits the tree now, man. But it means to be lifted up above. So when he's saying, I'll lead you beside, it's above. That word lead is interesting, right? It means this. The literal translation of the word lead is nahal, which means to lead all the way with diligent care to a station of rest.
To lead with diligence to a place of rest.
Jesus has been preached a lot. Who can say amen? But he has been preached a lot the wrong way. Right? If anything, with no pride, with only humility, what we want to encounter is we want to actually share Jesus with people as the true shepherd. As the true shepherd. I'm going to ask you a question. I don't need your answer, but if you're brave enough, you can answer this question. Who was motivated to repentance because of hell?
I'll be honest.
Who was motivated to repentance because of hell? Who's been taught that theology? Who believes that theology is very true today? There's a motivation to repent because you could die tonight. I actually believe if you die, if you did something really terrible as a Christian and you died tonight, you'd be with the Lord. He paid a price for all of our sin. Previous, present, future. Is that a license to sin? Completely not. Because that would be an abomination of grace. But the church has been taught this lie that you better repent. You know, the key word to repentance is this. The root word of repentance is kindness. What if a whole movement of people started to bring people to Christ through kindness and mercy? Not using hell as a motivator to get people saved. That's a poor motivator. Amen? It's a poor motivator. Are we okay? All right. So leadership in Christ is actually to lead us to rest. And this is a very intimate place. Intimate place. Okay? It's a very intimate place Christ wants to bring us to. It means this. The word nahal also means to journey by stations or stages. Who's ever had a revelation of something and then 3 years later, you've been building on the revelation again? Okay? Because the word says this, that each and every one of you are going from glory to glory. Not from glory, I fell down, I've got to go back to level one. Glory to glory and strength to strength, you build upon precept, right? In Christ. Yes? Then we need to smash the theology that has actually told us that Jesus is very unhappy with us if we don't get everything right. That needs to be smashed today. Because he is the perfect perfection leader. And his love is so transformational that when we fail, I didn't say if, see that? When we fail, he is calling us deeper into himself. Who's ever experienced that? Who's ever experienced a fall and it motivated you to get closer and closer and closer to Christ? Please hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying I want you to go and fall so you can get closer to Jesus. But what I am saying is that it does produce a fruit of intimacy. Are we okay?
Yeah.
Okay. And so this word quiet is where I want to sit down today with you, so to speak. This word quiet is beautiful. It means this, resting place. A place of rest. It actually comes from the root word of Manoah, which is Samson's father, which means rest. It comes from the other root word of Manawak, which means resting place, or a condition where one comes to rest. And at the very root of this word, it's the word nuaha, which means to settle down and be quiet. So when he leads us beside quiet waters, he's really saying this, I'm going to take you above everything and I'm going to plant you in rest. You know, I love the next verse, which I'm not going to read today, but it doesn't say this, and then I want you to go out and do heaps of Christian activity. No, it doesn't say that. It's about then restoration. And the soul is to be restored. Who believes they have a great and a good soul? Come on. Yeah, put your hands up if you're born again, please. Because another lie in the church is that your soul is bad. Oh, your soul's the bad one, your spirit's the good one. When you were born again, your soul was restored and redeemed. You can say amen. So we're going to continue to chip away and break down these theological lies that have been taught in the Western Church specifically, that we have been either absorbed into our theology or we've been taught them falsely. I'm going to go for something now, and you can argue with the Lord about this or with me later if you want, but I want to be a little bit edgy today. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right? There's a big lie in the body. I do not believe anymore. I just had to repent of this months ago. I do not believe anymore that the devil knows my destiny. Come on. We've been taught in the Western church, you better watch out, the enemy knows your destiny. You better watch out. The enemy knows who what your destiny is. He's going to set things up so when you get to that place in your life, it's an absolute lie. Who knows the mind of Christ except the Spirit of God? Amen? Who knows the mind of Christ except for the Spirit of God? And if the Spirit of God is in you, then you know the mind of Christ. The enemy hasn't got the mind of Christ. We've built the church, I shouldn't say we, the body of Christ has built whole theologies, whole movements on the fact that the devil knows what's going to happen with your life. We have to also remember the devil is not creative, he's reactive. Okay? He's not creative, he's reactive. When you wake up in the morning, when you open your eyes, even when you're asleep and your heart is beating, the enemy is petrified.
Yes.
And that petrifying happens because he knows who you are.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't mean this, but he knows who you're called to be. You're called to be his son and daughter.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that when you got born again, if you fell in sin, it wasn't some new sin, it was just old habits? Everyone experienced that?
Yes.
Isn't it interesting, eh? The new man doesn't create new sin. The old man or old woman, you know what I'm saying? That's the person who creates, that has the issue with not feeling loved enough, so then they end up in sin. I've for a long time thought that sin was because of behaviour. I now say that sin is because of a lack of experiencing love.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
So when we experience love, then we don't have to think about anything else to fill ourselves with. Because we are in rest. Sin actually is actually a place of unrest. Now, I'm going to be vulnerable in the next few minutes. And I've been praying over what to say and what not to say, because we need to be a people who are very, 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 very particular about being honest with the Lord. Amen? Yeah? No one has ever struggled with honesty. Everyone here is Jesus' third cousin, so you can deal with the Lord, right? But honesty and integrity with the Holy Spirit. And so, let's just quickly move on. Is everyone okay?
Yes.
Amen. Thank you.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. There is a frequency that keeps you safe and secure. Stephen Travis, tell me your favorite genre of music, please.
Worship genre?
Yes.
Yeah.
What a good Christian. Roberto, favorite genre of music?
Can't think of one.
Can someone give me
jazz?
Jazz.
Gospel.
Yep. Who's heavy metal? Come on, it's got to be one of us. Feel like you've been in a volcano for 4 minutes. Right? But all of us don't like some music, correct?
Yeah.
If I had the time, which I don't, and I'm not going to, I could prove to you that all of you come from a certain place, and that certain place in your DNA reacts to certain music differently. Right? But there's one frequency that we all love, and that's the Holy Spirit. And when He comes and sits on anything, whether it's gospel music or worship, because guess what? There's worship about the Holy Spirit. You're thinking, oh, that's blasphemy. No, there is. There's plenty of worship about the Holy Ghost. Because a lot of that worship can be about the person or about the me, right? Whatever it is, the frequency, the Lord's been teaching me this over the last... About the last 11 months, there are frequencies, and I'm going to tell you about an experiment I did over the last couple of weeks. There's a frequency that happens that when the Spirit of God is moving, because it says this in Genesis, He hovered over the earth. Does that say that? The word hover there is that He made sound over the earth. Oh, how good is that? And so I did an experiment. I took my phone into a workplace for 3 weeks in a row, and I played one song at a low frequency on repeat. The atmosphere completely changed. So I thought, okay, if I do this for 6 months, completely changed. Now, no one knew I was playing the music. It was just in my pocket on a really low frequency. But I know there's a frequency the Holy Spirit has given us, that He gives us, that where safety and security are released.
Amen.
Who's ever felt unsafe in church?
Yeah.
Yep. The first experience I had with church, I won't tell you where it was, but it was less than... I walked into the church and a lady said to me, "You can't come in here wearing that." I didn't even have any tattoos. I just had on, now you'll be disgusted, okay? I had Nike sneakers. I had matching blue Nike shorts and Nike hoodie with the sleeves cut off. And a Nike hat. That was my first experience with the church, with a formalized religion. I was rejected at the door because of what I looked like. And I thought, wow, these people, I was like, I've just been reading the Bible. And it says every nation, tongue and tribe. I said, well, I think I can come in. No, you can't come in. I said, no worries. See you, champs.
Have a good day. Bless them. But all of us have had
some type of experience where safety and security have not been the primary thing that we've experienced. Amen. I had a fella come here and he said, "Oh, this will probably just be the Adam Osborne show." And then the love of God apprehended him, and he found out that it wasn't actually about any one person, but it was about this tangible experience of love. And we want to protect that, but also it's the Lord's, so we can't really. But we want to create environments where safety and security are supremely reigning. Where everyone's voice is important. Where everyone is valued because of who they are in Christ, not what they can bring to the ministry or bring to the vision. I can't stand that word at the moment. Or bring to the benefit, if you do it for me, I'll do this for you. No. Everyone is valued because they are a son and a daughter of Christ. I mean, is that okay? It keeps you safe. This quiet river keeps you safe. This quiet place keeps you safe. The shepherd's voice. If I brought 1,000 sheep in here right now, it'd stink. But I have a shepherd in here, and Roberto will be able to rebuke me if I'm wrong. I brought 1,000 sheep in here, and then I brought 100 shepherds in, who all own 10 sheep. Is that 1,000?
Yeah, praise God.
And I teach maths. Oh no. Tell you what, the answers are so good at the back of the book,
Praise the Lord.
But if I brought them all in here and every one of the shepherds started calling at the same time, I guarantee you that every one of those sheep would end up where they're supposed to be. You know, they've actually proven scientifically a shepherd's voice cannot be copied. As soon as the sheep understands who the shepherd is, no matter how close the other shepherd might sound to their shepherd, they will never go with that shepherd. They will only stay. It's something that happens incredibly in physiology where this sheep gets to know the shepherd's voice, and that's the voice.
It's a beautiful thing to know the shepherd's voice. Because by knowing the shepherd's voice, we can enter the place of Psalm 46, verse 4. There's a river that makes glad the city of God. Amen. I wonder if David was seeing Revelation 22. The holy habitation of God. Amen. We're going to sit down now together. You're already sitting, but we're just going to take some time, a few minutes, and I'm just going to go through this. So can we move now to Ephesians chapter 4, please? Because there's some really great stuff that I want to just touch on. I don't want to preach on it. I just want to touch on it. I feel a sense, a deep sense, that as the Holy Spirit gives us new theology about Jesus Christ, that we will start, it's not new to Him, it's new to us. And it's actually rewiring. You know, Kath and I came out of a community many years ago, and for the first 6 months, all we did is unlearning. Unlearning all the ways that we were taught that were wrong. Unlearning all the ways that we were taught that were dangerous. Unlearning all the ways that we couldn't see on the inside of that, but on the outside we could. And so that unlearning, it actually produced a richness of holiness to be able to come before the scripture and actually understand, okay, this is what we were taught, but actually that's not right. The word of God says this instead. Okay? So Ephesians 4, and for those who haven't been here a lot, Ephesians 4, we've been stuck, or I've been stuck in this, which is you have to put up with that sticking, which is producing a lot of fruit, for about 3 years now. And so Ephesians 4 is what I believe is the greatest misconception in the body of Christ. If every community enabled the culture of the apostolic and the prophetic and the evangelistic and the shepherding and the teaching to operate properly, then we would have a strong, robust church. But in Australia, this is my catch cry, writing a book at the moment on this whole thing, is that we actually in Australia have a one-fold church, or maybe a two-fold church.
Yeah.
And that is a church that is led by teachers and shepherds who haven't any idea about the prophetic or the apostolic, and so they can't be protected to teach well or to shepherd well. Okay? And so a shepherd was never ever supposed to be the person out the front doing all the stuff. A shepherd was supposed to be linking arms with the people. If you go biblically, the poem, the word, the Near Eastern shepherd was this: protect sheep from wolves. I'll give you David Shepherd. Shepherd wakes up, the sheep are in the fold, this beautiful fold. The sheep wake up, the shepherd's already been awake, he's been awake all night, protecting the fold. He's also gone out ahead of the sheep and he's cut the path for the next day. So they go out, he takes them to where, I love this, a Near Eastern shepherd, a biblical shepherd, would take his sheep out to green pasture. Right? He would command them all to lay down and eat. Just eat. Eat. At the end of the day, he would take all his sheep back into the fold. If any were missing, he'd go back out and he'd find them. If any were injured, he'd heal them. If any had wounds, he'd take care of their wounds. This was the role of a Near Eastern shepherd. It's the exact thing that should be happening in every single house of God across the nations. That's how a shepherd should be operating, whether it's a female or a male. Okay? This is the true essence of a shepherd. A shepherd, really, in the Bible, wasn't a teacher. Yes, they can link in, someone can have a shepherding call and a teaching element to that, for sure. But the primary purpose of the shepherd is to care, deeply care, for the sheep. And it's a role of protection. How many people do you think would see the shepherd at night when he's cutting the track for the next day?
The Lord.
Amen. And so instead of the shepherd being the most visible person in the body,
yeah,
it actually is one of the most invisible,
yeah,
if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Right? It's visible, but it's also invisible because it's in Christ. All right, so let's just say this. We're going to... Give me 5 minutes. I'll try and stay true to my word. I must probably be apprehended, but that's okay. Amen. So Ephesians 4, verse 30 says this: and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. So I'm going to read. Those 5/6 areas of life are the things that cause the most noise. Who here right now knows someone who doesn't like them? Yeah? Let's be honest. We're in an honesty club here, right? The more mature we become, the less and less and less and less that truly affects us. You can measure your maturity in Christ about how much someone can hurt you. Not because you've closed your heart off and it's become calloused, but because you've found a divine love that far outweighs any comment. I had one person say to me once, a couple of years ago, say to me, when I walked into church, you looked down, not straight at me. I've been affected for 3 months. I was like, well, I'm really sorry that I didn't actually know that I was supposed to look at you straight in the eye. I said, maybe I was having a bad day. Leaders don't have bad days.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, but we have this is the mentality we have, and this is what happens in community, is that we have an expectation because we need to find Jesus ourselves. You know what I mean?
Is that okay? All right. And so it says this. Who's ever heard somewhere else in the Bible where it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit?
Whoa. The unpardonable sin, it's called, right?
But I want to take just a couple of minutes. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit.
What is he saying? Why is Paul saying this to the church in Ephesus, which was the biggest church on the earth at that time,
led by the Apostle Timothy? Why is he saying this? He's saying this because without the Holy Spirit, without the joy of the Holy Spirit, without the peace of the Holy Spirit, we cannot shepherd well and we cannot find rest. It's impossible to find rest without the Holy Spirit. And so we have a whole movement of churches all over the world that will not allow the Holy Spirit to move, and yet they find themselves in unrest. They find themselves in sin cycles, and they find themselves in the inability to produce fruit for the kingdom of God.
I'm really, really trying to use the word religious, because on Thursday morning when I woke up, the Lord said to me, you guys are going to reclaim the word religious. And I was like, oh no, it's going to take ages. It's just me and the Lord. I'm religious. So I'm banning myself from saying that person is religious or that's a religious church, because I want that word restored.
It's a big one, but I want it restored. And so, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. I mean, the word grieve there comes from the word wickedness against the Lord. But it comes from the word also making the Holy Spirit sad.
Making the Holy Spirit sad.
Making the Holy Spirit upset. Isn't it awesome the Holy Spirit has his emotions? And so when we grieve the Spirit of God, we actually find ourselves in these very things. We find ourselves in bitterness. We find ourselves in wrath. We find ourselves in anger and clamor. You know the word clamor, the root word is this.
It's the croak of a crow looking for food. Who's it acted like that before? Oh, you guys are so holy. Right?
It's the croak of a crow looking for food. Where do crows hang out?
Around rubbish.
Yeah. I'll just be vulnerable, right? Yeah, that's me. Yeah, I've done that. Yeah, amen. And so it goes on and says this, slander along with malice.
That word malice is very interesting. The root word of malice is this, thinking anything about another person that's not God's thoughts about them. I'm going to run outside now.
And so I've been in this season personally of this deep repentance in the Holy Spirit, because I didn't realize in my immaturity that I was grieving the Holy Spirit by having all these different things. And I'm always checking myself, but still. And so I want us as a community, I want us to spend time with Jesus in the quiet place. How do you get to the quiet place? Give up slander.
Give up malice. Give up anger. Give up wrath. Give up croaking like a crow near rubbish. Some of that stuff can be towards ourselves. Some of that stuff can be towards other people. Some of that stuff can be towards systems or places.
But Paul, the apostle, is saying, listen, if we do this, we won't actually know what he actually says this in verse 32, be kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another as Christ forgave you. At the start of Ephesians 4, it says this.
He finishes Ephesians 4 and starts it with the same notion.
Make room for other people's errors. What would the church look like if we restored every minister who fell instead of booting them out? Wow.
Kath and I were having a big debate about this the other night.
Like, isn't it incredible? What would the how much grace would be dripping